Hugo Montenegro's orchestra on monitor, and if you don't recognize the tune, may I tell you it's Anna. Monitor. My name is Barnum. When you go to sleep tonight, do you know you'll dream five times, maybe more? That's a fact. In a couple of minutes or so, the person from whom I got that fact will tell us a lot about what happens to us when we sleep. By the way, do you remember if your last dream was in color? I keep getting mine on old Victrola records. Ronnie David's music on monitor, A Lover's Concerto. Thank you. insomniac, you'll spend one-third of your life sleeping. There's a new book out entitled Sleep, which explores all the latest research on the subject. Gay Gayer-Luce, co-author of the book, talked with Monitor reporter Brad Crandall.
A gay research, I understand, tells us that we don't just go to sleep, which most of us have always thought we did. Is it true that there are different stages and layers of sleep?
Yes, all night long you go up and down as though you were going down a staircase and then back up again. You go through several layers of very light sleep, and then into a deep oblivion from which you'll generally remember nothing. And then you'll come back up again, but this time, instead of hitting the surface and waking up, your body will seem awake and your brain will seem awake, but you'll be dreaming. And it'll be very hard to awaken. And in this state, your eyes will move very rapidly, and it's known as rapid eye movement sleep. This was discovered in 1953, and it's been a big breakthrough in sleep research.
Well, now, when you dream, is this during the so-called rapid eye movement period?
That's right. And that's how scientists know to wake people up and find out what they're dreaming, and they can predict when they're dreaming. They know that every human being on Earth will dream at least 5 times a night, for about an hour and a half total. And they can identify this by the brain waves and the rapid eye movements, wake a person up, and find out, for example, that people are dreaming in color. You don't have to be schizophrenic to dream in color. Or that dreams take sometimes 40 to 80 minutes.
Well, now, what about the person who goes without sleep?
He's taking a risk. First of all, his judgment is going to be impaired because he can't sustain attention. He may think he's awfully good, but he's going to start having sleep seizures, macrosleeps, a second or two when he's actually sleeping with his eyes open on his feet.
What if, for example, when his eyes go completely out of focus and all he's aware of is that for some reason he now has to refocus them?
That's right.
He's actually dropped off for a second or so.
Yeah, and he'll miss numbers if he's waiting to hear something, or he'll miss words.
Or if he's driving on a highway, he'll miss signs, or he'll hit signs, or any number of other little things.
That's correct.
So you literally do drop off and go to sleep for a split second there.
Yes. Now, as people go longer without sleep, they start having illusions, and finally, they have hallucinations if they wait long enough. And this seems to happen at a point when their energy metabolism is changing quite radically. The chemicals they need for all the energy in their muscles and their nerve cells throughout the body is now running out of its emergency storage. And this is a time in which people start to hallucinate. There was a very clever little experiment done in Florida with some rats on a water wheel, in which when they fell asleep, they would fall off. And it was discovered that the young rats would run to the front of the wheel and ride it and sleep for a third of the time while the wheel moved, and then when they were in danger again, they would run again.
Uh-huh.
Wake up.
That's a pretty clever way to do things, I guess. Mm-hmm. No wonder animals have survived so many wild, cataclysmic things if they're that clever, including us. Well, now, what about this thing in reference to sleep, which has now come up, well, particularly now with modern travel, called the jet lag?
Well, our bodies seem to work on a 24-hour clock. Now, all things rest once in 24 hours. That's a solar day. When we cross time zones very fast, we're telling our bodies to act as though it's a different time than it is within us, you see.
Mm-hmm.
We're now imposing an artificial clock. The body takes a long time to adjust. Some of our body functions will follow their previous 24-hour scheme, even after we've been in France for 5 or 6 days. This affects our judgment and our feeling. We can't fall asleep at the right time in France, and we get quite discombobulated, and eventually some people show up with pretty poor symptoms.
How important is the role of sleep for, well, let's say the lads in the space capsules? Do their habit patterns have to be adjusted and altered to compensate for these things?
We don't know what's going to happen when we go out and away from night and day.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, of course, very important to get rest. And the people who have been out in capsules up until now have complained that they haven't had enough.
Well, now, we know, for example, that the solar day is more than just light and dark, because the blind also sleep. We have such things as there are changes in barometric pressure.
Right.
The heavy side layer comes and goes. All sorts of weird little things change. The moon and therefore the tidal pulls vary around us. Incidentally, what's the effect of a full moon on sleep patterns?
I don't know, but I understand from people who have animal labs, cat labs in particular, that the full moon causes a certain nervous agitation. Now, a full moon does come with a kind of barometric pressure change,
mm-hmm.
too.
Yeah, you can observe it in Greenwich Village anytime. Now, but with the people who are in space, as we were saying a moment ago, they're not only missing the light and dark, they're missing all of these pattern changes, which are part of their solar day.
Right. And good rest is terribly important to them. Now, the Russians have been working a great deal on this, probably more so than we, with insects and animals and sending them into space.
Compared to what little we know now, how far we have to go before we know much about it?
Oh, we're in the horse and buggy days. We really are just starting, and it's thanks to new instrumentation that we've gotten as far as we have.
Well, actually, we've only been sleeping for about 10,000 years. I mean, after all, why should we suddenly worry about him now?
And you know, it's taken us so long to notice these things like regular cycles of rapid eye movements and activated sleep in infants. Here, mothers look at their children for hours and hours, and it's been happening at regular intervals, but nobody ever thought to look and see, was it really regular?
Until you had a large number of infants side by side, I guess, there wouldn't be any reason to notice. Thank you very much, Gay.
Thank you, Brad.
Our guest has been Gay Gerloos, co-author of the book Sleep, a fascinating look at the latest research into the dark world where you and I spend one-third of our lives. This is Brad Crandall for Monitor.
I saw just the other day in the paper that an engineering professor has invented an electric sleep machine. It's a transistorized unit about the size of a cigar box, and it puts you to sleep with electric pulses that are applied to the head through pads. And if the machine's approved by the Food and Drug Administration, a small unit for individual use will sell, I understand, for less than $100. Of course, if the electric pads don't put you to sleep, try the chair. Robert Goulet's latest ballad.
Young, only yesterday. Young and full of dreams. How long ago was yesterday? A million years it seems, but the sea still pounds the shore, and children play their games, and summer follows spring, and everything is still the same as when I was young. Only yesterday, and you were in my heart. Now all those dreams of yesterday must live a world apart. I'll still hear the pounding sea.
Cosby does a funny bit about a few yesterdays ago when he was in high school and his favorite class was shop. Ever heard it? You will in about 6 minutes here on the Monitor Beacon. Vice president of a large corporation was asked to give a group of women some advice on how to become top executives. Her advice was very succinct. She said, look like a woman, act like a lady, think like a man, work like a dog. Here's Mitch and the gang.
Who sends a feed? Let it always be sends a feed. There's no end to our love, our hopes, our dreams, our sighs. No end at all, no sad goodbyes. No fears, no tears, no love that dies. It sends a feed. Let it always be sends a feed. Never ending the sun, the days, the moon. the sea, the sand, the starry lights are yours and mine forever. All we are and all we know is love and love alone. And so the world they spin its weary way, its lonely night and lonely day, while we are floating far above in never-ending time. This love so sends a
London. Never thought of her as a home decorator. Decoration? Decorator? No. Julie's avocation is interior decorating, and she also likes dress designing. And Julie will be visiting on Monitor tomorrow, and your host will be Barry Nelson. Also tomorrow, Jonathan Winters, Mike Nichols and Elaine May, Chet Huntley, Arlene Francis, all to enliven your afternoon. So stay with us right through the weekend. Pow, bam, kabop. Here's That Man and Peggy Lee.
Jump on Jiminy, hot diggity, hot ziggity zee. Holy popcorn, golly, wow, I gotta get that man for me. Great Scott!
What he can do. He goes through walls and he walks through space, or anything you want him to. Zowie! Whee! You ought to see him handle the scene. I gotta get that man for me. Slump!
Monitor on stage. Star performances recorded live at leading theaters and nightclubs around the world. Bill Cosby's performance at Harrah's in Lake Tahoe.
I think the pride of my school days was when I was in shop in junior high school. Shop, yes. I remember we had a nasty shop teacher. He was, that's what we called him, Mr. Nasty. He just didn't like kids at all. And one time I was reading a comic book, not in his class. We had 2 minutes to go before the bell would ring. And he came up, yanked it away from me. You'll get this back at the end of the semester. Why does it take you that long to read it?
But the proudest thing I remember was shop having an apron. You know the apron they put on you in shop? That gray apron? That meant so much to me because I used to excuse myself and pass by where the girls are cooking. And they thought I was something. I used to have 37 pencils in my apron, you know. I walked by with grease and oil on my hands that I'd borrowed from somebody's car, you know. I'd walk out on that guy's car and get some grease and oil on me, you know. I'd walk by, you know, and my girlfriend Doris used to come out and say, "Whoa, what are you making now?" "Oh, yeah, how you doing, Doris? What are we making? You mean this week?" "Well, this week we're just finishing up a Boeing 707. One of the great lies of our times. You know what else? I could never figure out who made the spigots or the faucets in the schools. The guy couldn't have had you washing your hands in mind when he made them. Because it's impossible to wash your hand with holding the thing while the water comes out. You can't do it. And I spent 3 hours trying to wash my hands, trying to figure out how I could give it a good burst and put both hands under at the same time, like that. And then that soap they give you in the bowl, you gotta have about 12 bowls full before you can get a bubble. Who does all that? Somebody weird, I bet you. You ever had a cold and try and survive the day blowing your nose on those paper towels they keep in there? Why, you can clean your whole lip right off. All the skin can be gone in one day.
Monitor in shop with Bill Cosby. Tijuana Brass. Henry Morgan for Monitor. Enjoyed the evening with you. Monitor is nationwide, you know, on NBC Radio. One of our stations, KDTH in Dubuque, Iowa, is celebrating an anniversary this week. 25 years of service to the tri-state area of Iowa, Illinois, and Wisconsin. Congratulations.
This is Monitor, over 10 years of service to the NBC radio audience. The biggest sport in New York is Bill Mazur. Bill answers your sports questions Monday through Friday at 5:10 and Saturdays at 6:15 on 660 Radio. He's sometimes humorous, sometimes controversial, but always factual. In New York, the name Mazur means sports.
The Conversation Station, WNBC, AM and FM, New York.